Hello, everybody. This is Jerome Kauf, Regional Information Director for the Office of Price Stabilization, bringing you the latest news and views on the national battle against inflation. With me here in the studio is James G. Lyons, OPS Regional Director for New York and New Jersey. Hello, Jim.
Good evening, Jerry.
Jim, as you well know by this time, these programs are designed to keep people up to date on the activities of the Office of Price Stabilization, and I'm here to represent our audience.
I know that, Jerry. And it's through programs like this that we can let the people know what we are doing and why. It's through the cooperation of this station and others like it in New York and New Jersey that we get a chance to talk to the people in their own living rooms.
Right, Jim. And once again, I want to remind you that I am here to ask the questions that I think are uppermost in the minds of our listeners. Price stabilization affects each and every one of them, directly or indirectly, regardless of whether they are businessmen or consumers.
Yes, and that leads naturally into the point that we made last week about there being some OPS regulations which cover virtually every type of business in the land. I was a little bit surprised to find that there were many businessmen in this area who did not know that was the case until we mentioned it to them last week.
Well, perhaps it might be a good idea to repeat what you said at that time in the event there are any new listeners among our audience.
Well, what I said then was simply this. Almost every businessman, except such professional men as doctors and lawyers, are covered by some one of the 40-odd price orders which we have issued to date. In many instances, these orders require that businessmen affected file certain important pricing data with the nearest district OPS office by certain deadline dates. If the businessmen affected do not prepare or do not file the required information, they are, of course, in violation of the law.
And just what does that mean, Jim, say in the terms of punitive action?
Well, it could mean any or all of several things. The federal courts might grant us a permanent injunction against a businessman who has not complied with the regulations that affect him. Or, if a businessman is found guilty of a violation, he may be fined $10,000 or given a jail sentence of 1 year in a federal penitentiary.
A permanent injunction, a $10,000 fine, and a year in jail? That would be pretty hard for a businessman to take, I should think.
Well, as a businessman, before I accepted this job with the Office of Price Stabilization, and I know that as a businessman, I take immediate steps to find out which of the OPS regulations affected my particular operation.
Well, for the benefit of any new listeners that we might have, suppose you quickly run down the list of district OPS offices where such information is easily available.
I'd be glad to. OPS district offices are located in New York City at 401 Fifth Avenue, and also in Albany, Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo in upstate New York, and in Newark, Trenton, and Camden in the state of New Jersey.
Well, just to make certain everyone understands, I think I'll repeat those cities, Jim. OPS district offices, where information is available, are located in New York City at 401 Fifth Avenue, in Albany, Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo in upstate New York, as well as in Newark, Trenton, and Camden in New Jersey. Now, Jim, let's go on to another point. The general press and radio have devoted a tremendous amount of space over the past week to the now effective OPS regulations on beef.
Jerry, I've been amazed at the general reaction to our beef orders. Of course, we know that beef is a major item in the American diet, but I never expected anything like this.
Well, I think it might be a good idea if I summarize the beef story to date, just in case some of our listeners missed a point or two.
Good.
As every housewife has good reason to know, beef prices have been climbing steadily since the start of the Korean conflict. And beef, as you pointed out a moment ago, is a major staple item in the diet of the average American family. The General Ceiling Price Regulation, which OPS issued on January 26th, held retail and wholesale beef prices at their maximum price during the period of December 19th, 1950, through January 25th, 1951. But the OPS knew that this price was a comparatively high one. And so, on April 25th, we issued 5 correlated beef orders, which were designed to establish firm dollars and cents ceiling prices on beef, all the way from the ranch to the dinner table.
Just to give you a moment to catch your breath, Jerry, suppose I take it from here. These 5 correlated orders establish the dollar and cent ceilings that slaughterers can pay for live cattle. And they set ceilings on the wholesale and retail price of beef. And they establish specific ceilings on kosher beef and require that slaughterers file copies of their normal distribution pattern with the Office of Price Stabilization.
Right, Jim, but additionally, these orders provide for a 4 to 5 cents a pound drop in retail beef prices by August 1st of this year, and set the stage for still another price rollback of 4 to 5 cents a pound, an additional 4 or 5 cents a pound on October 1st.
Well, in short, the way the regulations read, a consumer can expect a price reduction in beef of roughly 10 cents a pound by the fall of this year.
Well, the effective date of these regulations was May 14th, but even before that time, the cattlemen set up a howl that could be heard from coast to coast and border to border. They argued that the OPS beef regulations would put them out of business, and they alleged that only a widespread black market would result.
But Jerry, you know, and I know, that these arguments were and are fantastic. Beef was selling for more than 150% of parity when our beef orders were issued. Now, translated into the housewife's language, this means that cattlemen were selling their product for 50% more than it cost them to raise their cattle and still make a normal profit. Parity is a Department of Agriculture figure which sets a base price for a given farm commodity based on the farmer's cost of living plus his cost of actual production.
Well, Jim, how do the OPS established ceiling prices stack up against current parity prices for live cattle?
Well, according to the last figures which I have, Jerry, cattlemen will still be getting more than 130% of parity if they sell at OPS established ceiling prices. In other words, they will still be getting 30% more for their product than it cost them to produce it and still make a normal profit.
Well, what about the arguments that controlled beef prices will mean widespread black markets?
Well, I don't believe that, nor should you, Jerry, nor should our audience. Previously issued OPS regulations required the registration of every slaughterer in the country, and the allocations order, which we mentioned before, calls for them to file their distribution patterns. Additionally, OPS has been authorized by the Department of Agriculture to act as the sole licensing agent for any new slaughterers who seek to go into business.
And I recall, Jim, that Mike DeSalle, the national price stabilizer, has said that no new slaughterers will be licensed unless they can prove they are vitally needed in the area they will serve, or that they are necessary to the national defense effort.
That's right. During the last war, slaughterers increased more than 300% over their normal numerical strength, and the percentage of increase accounted largely for what black markets there were.
You mean that it was most of the Johnny-come-lately operators who accounted for most of the black markets?
Right again. Most of the legitimate slaughterers followed their normal distribution patterns. But the latecomers, many of whom got into the meat business for the specific purpose of making a fast and illegal dollar, many of these latecomers drained the beef from the normal market and channeled it into black market.
And so, the Office of Price Stabilization contends that under the present setup, it can't happen this time.
Well, I suppose that no matter what the law is, there are always a few sharpies who manage to work out an evasion. But generally speaking, there shouldn't be any widespread black markets. And those that do spring up can be quickly spotted and will undoubtedly be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It all boils down to this. There are 8,000 legitimate slaughterers in business right now. This figure, if it increases at all, will increase only slightly as compared with its 300% jump during World War II. We know the legitimate slaughterers, and we know where the meat they are selling is going. As the regulations exist today, we can keep a running and constant check on their operations. Fast operators who get into the game and who seek to evade the law by making their own rules are in for a very rude awakening.
Well, Jim, getting back to the new regulations and away from any alleged threats of black markets, what can the consumer expect now from the current regulations on retail beef?
Well, Mr. Karp, the beef regulations, as I said a few moments ago, were effective on May the 14th. And by June the 4th, every retail butcher must post his ceiling prices in a prominent place in his store. Additionally, the regulations set some very rigid standards regarding the cutting of meat and its grading. Now, these standards provide additional protection for the consumer.
Well, Jim, it seems to me that these beef regulations, about which there has been so much comment, have been drafted to serve the whole nation rather than any particular special privileged group.
Yes, Jerry. The Office of Price Stabilization tries to treat everyone fairly, businessman and consumer alike. Of course, that's sometimes a difficult thing to do. We realize that all of our regulations are not perfect, but we want everyone else to know that we are aware of the imperfections that exist, and we are making every effort to see that these imperfections are corrected in as short a time as is possible.
Well, speaking for myself, I've always had a great respect for the intelligence of the American people, and I think that they understand what you have just said. Americans have an innate sense of fair play, and they'll work with you every time if they think they are getting a fair break. I don't think that anyone expects to see prices rolled back to the 1940 levels, if that means that such rollbacks are going to put many men out of business and put a crimp in the economy. Of course, there are always a few who will look to their own advantage before they think of others. How will the OPS handle these people?
Well, let's take the case of the current beef regulations. Sol Liebman, our New York District Enforcement Director, has said that flying squads of OPS investigators are out in the field now. Now, these investigators will check the prices butchers are charging against the maximum ceiling prices they are allowed to charge. Additionally, these investigators will seek to verify the fact that beef is correctly graded, displayed, and priced, and they will keep a constant check on the compliance of the meat industry at all levels with the existing regulations. Where these investigators find violations, they will move toward vigorous enforcement of the law.
Well, that about brings us to the end of this particular edition of Your Pocketbook, a weekly presentation of the Office of Price Stabilization. But before concluding, Jim, I want to do one thing. I want to remind our listeners that OPS district offices are located in New York City at 401 Fifth Avenue, in Albany, Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo in upstate New York, as well as in Newark, Trenton, and Camden in New Jersey. Our guest this evening was James G. Lyons, Regional OPS Director for New York and New Jersey. And this is Jerome Koff, Regional OPS Information Officer for that district. Your Pocketbook, produced by Bill Seilig, is a weekly presentation of the station to which you are listening.